Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus, a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it.
My name's Kenny.
And I'm Nolan.
And that was really awkward because we didn't have Dustin, who is out of the country this week, and so unable to join us for our podcast. So we'll miss having him around this morning, but we'll get through introductions and into talking about our game of the week. Anyways, Nolan, did you spend half the week coming up with a really, really, really bad segue into this game?
No, I was going to ask you if you had one prepared.
Are you kidding me?
Do you?
You gotta be kidding me.
Wait, so you don't have one either?
You should know that you're kidding me. That's the best I could come up with. Kidding, kids, snowboard kids.
That's really bad. Also,
it's really bad.
That was too quick, though. We can't jump in that fast. That segue was really bad, so it was on par with the usual, so we'll take it. And I also didn't pick up on it, so I'm really bad at picking up on that kind of stuff.
I mean, anyways. I had to make it up on the fly because I really didn't prepare at all.
That's fine.
You know.
Okay, I know what we can talk about as our intro.
So okay, get us going.
We play Path of Exile. Kenny and I are all about that Diablo life, that ARPG life, and Path of Exile is kind of a more hardcore version of Diablo, and it's a free-to-play game, and there's lots of content, and there's some updates coming up, and we play hardcore as opposed to softcore, which means if your character dies, then they're dead, and you can't continue to level in that realm. So very unforgiving, and we've got some rip stories that I think we should share.
Are you going to cry for us about how you died this week and how terrible
it
was?
No, I think you're going to cry because you got farther than I did and ripped.
That's true.
But, okay, so I thought we could share our horror stories with that just because it's fresh on our minds and we're super salty about it still. So I was about level... In hardcore, you have to be super safe, right? Like... You play completely different than you normally do. You're not careless. You have to really be paying attention all the time, which makes this even more frustrating because I was. I was making some great progression on my mage. I had a really good gear. I do all self-found gear, and I was getting some really good drops. And I think I made it to like level 48. Getting really close to where your build starts to take shape, and I got one shot, so it's like it wasn't even fair.
just walking dead. Around and suddenly something hits you and you die.
Yes, I was safe, I had the precautions in place, and I got one shot. And I think was I talking to you, Kenny, at the time?
You were super not happy.
I still haven't played the game since. What about you, Kenny?
Last week I had one of those moments. I'd gotten a character all the way through the sort of early game and was just beginning like late game content with the character, and I don't even know what killed me. It was brutal. I think I was just playing, I don't know, tired or something and not paying attention, because I shouldn't have died, and like looked up at the screen and I was dead, and there goes, you know, a week and a half of work
the pain,
or something.
We still choose to play hardcore instead of softcore.
It's much more addicting, for sure.
It is addicting, for sure. I enjoy it more. Anyways, that's enough about it. We just needed to vent a little bit. But
that was our current non-NGP game of the week.
Yes.
And our experiences with that game really seemed to go downhill fast.
Okay,
and so speaking of downhill fast,
that's good.
I'm gonna show you how to make up another segue. We went downhill really fast this week in our retro game of the week, Snowboard Kids. Dustin, I don't know why I don't do, when you listen to this episode later, I don't know why I don't do the terrible segues, especially if they're pun related.
That was quick thinking.
Like right off the top of my head. Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't planned at all. That was great.
Overview.
So, Snowboard Kids is a Nintendo 64 title that came out in the Nintendo 64 era. I don't remember. Nolan, do you remember what year this came out?
Yeah, it came out in 1998 in North America.
1998. It was developed by Ragdum.
When you have that many
consonants in an order, it doesn't make true English words. RACDYM and published by Atlas.
Which Atlas is like a pretty well-known Japanese developer company. They make the Shin Megami Tensei, I think that's how you say it, series, which I've never gotten into, but also like the Persona games. So I don't know. I thought it was a little strange in talking to some guys in the Discord. I was kind of shocked that Atlas made this game.
I think probably this was one of those where they sort of saw a popular title and figured, hey, let's cash in a little bit, because this game is very much a Mario Kart clone.
Yeah, I mean, I would call it that.
Yeah, and that sometimes carries negative connotations, but I don't know that that's especially fair here. They made a unique game and did some things that were specifically not Mario Kart-ish. There's a couple of mechanics that are really novel that I kind of enjoyed. But the idea is sort of like Mario Kart in that you are racing other people competitively and interacting with them. You know, items that you can use and buffs for yourself and debuffs for other players. Mm-hmm. And even kind of the art, that sort of graphical, bright, really colorful kind of art that the Nintendo 64 sort of thrived on.
It was very prominent at that time.
You're racing. However, instead of racing in a cart or a car or any normal kind of racing thing, you're racing on a snowboard as a kid, hence the title of the game, Snowboard Kids.
Not sure why they went with kids, but that's what it is.
Yeah, it's an interesting choice. Probably they're kind of just catering to their audience. Like, this doesn't have to be... This by no means is like a kids game. We've played some kids games, but it definitely, I think, tries to appeal to both a younger and older audience.
I think
that's what they were going for. You know, was I wasn't sort of like a little inclusivity.
Kid when I played it. I was like, I do have some nostalgia for it, but it's like, I don't know. I don't know why I have nostalgia for it. I'll just say that. But I did play it a lot.
It's interesting. I never played this game when it was out on 64. I didn't know it existed until this week. Yeah. But like Mario Kart, you're racing downhill. Unlike Mario Kart, because you're on a snowboard, you're not accelerating yourself. You're just letting gravity kind of push you. But on the way, you can use power-ups that, novelly enough, you have to pay for. You have to have money that you've earned from doing tricks or collecting coins on the course. And as you do tricks and collect coins, you can then hit these little shop icons that will give you power-ups to interact with the other players. And typical kind of stuff, you know. They Bombs. Themed it well with it being snowboard. You know, there's some snow-related stuff. You can freeze people. You can throw snowmen at them. But then there's, like, bombs. There's coins that you can hit people with. Mm-hmm. And all kinds of different things. A ghost that comes out and slows everybody down, and a whole bunch of different power-ups, things that speed you up. And so it plays very much like a Mario Kart title.
Yeah, but in this one, you can have two item slots, which in Mario Kart, or in the older ones at least, you can't do this in the new one, but you could kind of cheat around that and have like an item in your slot, but then also be holding like a shell behind you, just kind of holding it and waiting to use it. In this one, you have two item slots that you can store up. So I'm not sure if that's a good thing. it's a really chaotic game. I think it's cool, and I love the money mechanic. I love that it costs to get those. Gives some incentive to like hit those coins as you're going instead of just being like whatever, don't need them.
Absolutely.
It adds a little bit of strategy to what's, you know, historically just a very straightforward genre, just, you know, racing. But
it does. And they also fleshed out the title a little bit more by allowing some more depth beyond just the racing. Like, you get some of that in Mario Kart, but not a lot. Here, that money that you're using to buy things throughout the course, you're also saving up to, like, buy yourself upgraded snowboards of different varieties, which allow your character over time to go, you know, faster, to turn better, And so you've got this sort of bigger game of like progressing your character and customizing your snowboard and making it fit so that the different things you have going on really kind of work together. And so that's kind of fun that there's like game outside of the game as well.
Mm-hmm.
That goes on to include like the variety of characters. It's not like explicitly said in the Mario Kart series, but you know that different characters have different strengths and abilities.
Yeah,
that's
like
kind of just like a learned thing. But this is a really sort of like obvious part of this game. They give you a bunch of different characters. Help me remember who. You had Jam, who was my Jam. That's who I played mainly.
Slash,
who was kind of the main guy, the one with the spiky hair that everybody
nose,
sees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then there was Nancy. Mm-hmm.
Linda.
And then the Green Ranger, Tommy.
He was green and really fast. And then Shinobin is an unlockable character that's kind of like the, oh my gosh, cool secret character.
Right. Hey, unlock content. But that's always a fun fun process.
Yeah, so that's like kind of what the game is. Very straightforward. Like Kenny said, it's kind of in the name. but let's see how we enjoyed the actual gameplay this week.
Gameplay.
So I was a little shocked by what I was getting out of gameplay. When I heard that this was a snowboard title, knowing nothing about it whatsoever, I was expecting like a Tony Hawk but constantly moving downhill kind of game. The only snowboard games I've played are, I don't even know what they're called, like 1080 or different things, where it's literally all about like going downhill and just doing cool tricks. And
SSX tricky. I have to say that so slow because it's
I don't even know. Tracer.
Yeah, that's another one. Because snowboard games were kind of big around this time for some reason.
Yeah, they got really popular for a little bit.
Yeah.
It was weird. And so I was definitely not expecting a racing game. When I got that, I was a little surprised. But it was fun. It's a kind of game you can pick up and just go.
Yeah,
you know, literally. Again, you're not even having to make your character go. You're just throttling downhill. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty easy to figure out the basics. Learning some of the more advanced stuff, how to turn well, how to use the items well, how choosing different characters and their different stats would affect you based on what course you were on, some of that kind of stuff took a little bit of time, so there was actually some depth there.
Yeah, I think so. I think that there's enough variation there to make the argument that it does matter what combos you put together, which is always nice because some games, they just throw like different characters at you and be like, look, variety, but it really doesn't matter. It's just kind of like preference thing.
Right. This one, you
but
felt
yeah, there was
though.
Some of that. Yeah, I think you did. And not as much as in Mario Kart, but they did try. And I think that's fine. I think they did a good job. But the thing that stood out to me most about gameplay, and so just a little history, my backstory with this game, I played it a lot when I was younger. And I loved it for some reason. Like When the game was picked, I was like, oh, sweet. Snowboard Kids. I played this game a lot. I'm not sure why I played it so much now that I'm revisiting it. Because I found it to be incredibly easy. Like
this game?
Like no challenge.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You just played too much of it as a kid and had secret like latent skills that you remember. You're probably also really good at Mario Kart.
I'm okay at Mario Kart. I'm pretty good, but that's that's beside the point. So
no, it's totally related because it's that kind of game. Like if you have that kind of game and like thinking about like how to do well at them, you're going to pick up a title like this and do great. I was never especially great at Mario Kart, and this game took me a little while to kind of feel like I wasn't terrible at.
Yeah, it definitely lets you just jump in and you get the hang of it pretty easily. I don't know. There was no friction. I just glided through the game, got first place on the first few maps that I played. You had different experience?
Oh, I just thought it was a really bad like snowboarding fun. Lack of
friction.
Oh
no, that was an accident.
Gliding through the game.
That was an accident.
Okay.
No, you should always know my puns are on accident and I will never catch the segues. I'm not as witty as you guys.
well, either way, like it's not a super challenging game. But there are things to learn and things to do. You've got different skills that you can learn based on which character you're doing. They each have like a unique trick, which is kind of fun.
Which is worth gold when you nail them, like going off the thing.
Absolutely.
So that's awesome. It's like a thing to keep in mind. Like, you got a jump coming up, you need to hit the trick so you can get some gold for the next item. Love that.
Yeah. There were also some really fun, and I think these sort of fit the niche, of what, like, side games are supposed to do, but there were some really fun, like, hey, we're going to accidentally train you to play the game, mini games that you could play. There was one that was just based on, like, being as fast as you possibly could down the hill, where you would just collect speed boosts the whole way. There was one where you could do tricks, and you'd have to do a number of, like, different kinds of tricks in a row, including even, like, grinding on a rail that took a little bit of finesse.
Yeah, that's pretty fun, though.
It was very cool. And then and there was, like, a half-pipe portion at the beginning, and I could never take advantage of it because this game was beyond me to some degree. At least, like, the advanced stuff, the tricks and things. And then there was a... and this was probably my favorite part of the whole game, which is why I bring it up. But then there was a, like, shooting the snowmen minigame.
Yep.
Where you had one of the power-ups that would shoot missiles in front of you, and these random snowmen would show up all over the course. And as you're going down, you've got to just, like, demolish these snowmen. And if you're not hitting them, you're not, like, replenishing your ammo, and so... But you can't run into them because they'll mess you up. I don't know. That one was a lot of fun. I had a great time
with it. It is fun. And then besides those, you have like just 9 playable stages, courses. The thing that I find kind of unique and fun about this, just they stuck with the whole snowboard thing. You have laps like you do in racing games. And the way they handle that is at the end of the course, you get on the ski lift and it takes you back to the top.
At first, that bugged me so much because I was like, really? But then as I did it more, it added sort of more reality. Like if you just like somehow cycled, it wouldn't have made sense because you're going downhill.
Exactly. And
there's some strategy there.
Yeah, you have to aim for it because it's not always just at the in the middle. And you can bonk into it. If someone's using it like right before you get to it, you can bonk into it and that slows you down, which is super annoying. Anyways, I thought that was fun. It was a novel way to handle laps in a downhill game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's cool. But some of the stages aren't snow. There's a stage
which drove
that's
me crazy
grass.
At first, but then I kind of fell in love with that.
It's silly. It's just like, okay, let's do it. It's a grass hill. There's no snow. There's also like a... It's a desert or a beach or something.
Yeah, you're outside in the desert. No, I think it's supposed to be desert. It doesn't look really deserty all the time, but there's like a sphinx that shows up at one point. And so I'm pretty sure they were going for desert. And then also like a carnival as well that you're going through and there's rides and stuff. And so,
but you're still shooting like snow themed gear, like the snowman and the ice. It's really funny and intentional. It wasn't like they messed up.
Oh, absolutely.
Up or
they
something.
Weren't taking themselves real seriously, which is good. A game like this, I don't think you can.
Right.
So, what do you think of the music?
Okay, so the music's a little nostalgic for me, but not in a like way that I'm like, "Oh, this music's amazing." I liked it. It fit on theme with the game and what they're going for. And it was nice to listen to. It wasn't something that like just stood out completely to me, but it also didn't annoy me.
Sure. When I first turned it on, it was a little peppy and a little like Nintendo 64 with a kind of kiddish game vibe. And I was like, oh, I'm going to hate this so much.
Yeah.
And then it started growing on me and I was like, oh man, this music actually does. It fits this game. It, you know, kind of fits the tone of what's going on and adds energy as you're going down the hill. And that's awesome. And then like it gets repetitive. And so at some point you're like, I'm kind of sick of this music, even though it's sort of good. And it just becomes the background to the game. And it didn't like stand out. It wasn't anything like exceptional, but it did its job.
I also, the like board selection, the menu screen,
super fun.
Music, that song was good.
Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah
I love
no, the,
that.
The
it's
music
like that very,
that.
It was very Mario Kart ish. Like
I thought you were just talking just about like the fact that you got to select your board and play through it. Because that's a really fun thing. Anytime you can like add customization, I'm just a big fan of making choices, of having some strategy, and it doesn't take much to do it. A couple of characters that handle a couple differently, a few snowboards that each handle differently, and the ability to like upgrade them and change their look and their color. And you've added so much more replayability in my mind and depth. And people sometimes don't take that extra step, and they did in this game. I thought they did well with it.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think, like, from a developer standpoint, how difficult that is. But it can't be that too hard to just, like, put a couple different snowboards and, like, weight them differently, like, as far as, like, the gravity physics go or whatever. It's very subtle, and it's not, like, a ton of customization, but the fact that they did it in this snowboard kid silly game, I definitely respect that. I'm on board.
On board?
Wow! Okay.
You're full of them.
I swear those are all on accident, really good. I'll probably make another one. I hope I do. That's great.
You're ridiculous.
Okay, so we know how we handled gameplay somewhat, so let's talk about how it holds up today to some of these new snowboard games.
Aged.
I mean, like, snowboard games isn't a genre of game I play a lot, so it's hard to...
I don't know if it is a genre.
I don't think. I think snowboard games was kind of like fighting card games. Like, it was a really important genre for, like, the tiniest blip of, like,
for like 3
gaming
years.
History time. Yeah, and, like, everybody made a snowboard game. All my friends were playing snowboard games, but literally for, like, 2 months. And then they were like, what are we doing? Why?
Yeah, and extreme sports were all, like, edgy and cool in the late 90s. And it's like, I'm playing a simulator.
Yeah, X Games and drink some Mountain Dew and eat Doritos while playing a snowboard game. Yeah,
Sean White, pin up in your room, yeah.
But that's so, that's so late 90s. And, like, the 64 was so that era, too. And this is another one of those games that just feels like a 64 game.
Oh, absolutely.
It's one of the more unique feeling consoles. I say that. They're all really unique. You can almost always see a game and just know where it was played. You don't get that as much anymore.
I feel like more so in the N64, though, you could feel it. There's just something about it.
The kind of graphics, even the like unique controller. Like, it's hard if you're playing it today with a controller that's not the original controller. Mm-hmm. And trying to figure out how to map keys to give you a similar experience, that can actually kind of make picking up a lot of N64 titles hard. I had to try a couple different configurations with this one before it felt natural. Because, like, normally you can get to your C button with your right hand, but if you don't have a controller setup that gives you that, or, you know, for me as I'm mapping keys, the most natural thing was always to put the C button on the, like, D-pad, not the analog stick, on my other finger, but then you can't hit both at the same time.
Yeah, I was talking to Bradley in Discord this week. He had the same issue. He was using a 360 controller, I think, trying to map it. And it really does speak to the creativity of Nintendo's controllers. They've always had off-the-wall controllers. And the fact that it's annoying that it's hard to set up.
But then games are designed around them, so when you're playing them on that controller, it feels totally unique.
That's what's cool about it, yeah.
Yeah, between the button setup and the visuals and even being, a snowboarding kind of game, this game, like, reeked of 64, which is really fun for me, actually. Like,
yeah, I
love that era.
64, I'm on board.
Exactly, and so... When I first, picked this up, I was kind of like, I don't know if I want to play a snowboarding game. This sounds terrible. You know, and then the music loads and it's these kids. And you're kind of like, it's going to just be a Mario Kart game, but worse. But then I had lots of fun with it. So I don't know.
Yeah, this game seems very anti-Kenny at first glance. I'm glad that you found some enjoyment out of it. That's cool. Okay, as far as in reference to the age and me having... played it when it was a thing.
Sure.
Okay, I said earlier, going back to it, I'm not quite sure why I was so infatuated with it and I played it so often. Other than it just provides very easy, just quick play for a video game. Like, there's no like grinding or anything, which I like in RPGs, but it's very simple, straightforward. But outside of that, it's like, you're right. It's a worse Mario Kart, but
not even that worse.
No,
like,
no,
it's a good title.
Yeah, I'm not trying to criticize it. I'm just saying, going back to it, I'm not as like obsessed with it.
It's interesting because you came in, I think, with pretty high expectations because of nostalgia. And so then, like, it was sort of like, eh. I came in really thinking that this game this week was going to just be, like, such a waste of my time, and I was going to be frustrated and have to just whine about it the whole time. Yeah. And then I had a really fun game. Not a super in-depth game. Not, like, a perfect game by any means, but the kind of game you can just sit down and just, like, have... It kind of was like Crazy Taxi to me. It had a similar vibe recently. Like, you just sit down, you pick it up, you enjoy yourself. You know, if you...
You don't have to go through a tutorial or any of that stuff.
If you've missed the title, like, maybe you're not missing much. It's not like it was genre-defining or anything. But it's also fun enough that if you're choosing to play it, you're going to enjoy yourself.
I think so. And like, if we're comparing it to Mario, which I don't know if that's completely fair, because Mario Kart's such a, you know, such a classic and well-known title.
Sure.
But they did pull elements from it.
Yeah, it's clearly trying to, like, be in that vein.
And if I'm looking at other developer companies that maybe tried to do the same thing with Mario, I'm saying that Snowboard Kids pulled it off quite well and maybe better than other games that tried to be a Mario Kart clone, which none come to mind right now. But they're out there. Diddy Kong Racing, I feel like is kind of there, and that game is amazing. That's a whole different thing. Mm-hmm. But it was a little more unique. This is just simply, you know, a novel snowboard thing where they added some of the Mario Kart aspects. And yeah,
I don't know. I think felt like the unique things in this were almost as unique as the unique things in Diddy Kong Racing. Like, flying in boats and whatever is cool, but still sort of feels the same.
Yeah.
And then besides that, it's, I don't know, like, I wouldn't put this one too far behind that on a, like, similar games but different and whether they worked or not comparison, personally.
All right, before we move to New Game Plus, favorite stage and favorite item?
Oh, I'm so bad at favorite questions. I knew these were coming.
I know you are.
I actually thought about it beforehand, and I'm gonna say my favorite stage was the grass stage.
It's really cool.
It's a cool stage, and like it just feels so ridiculous. Like, you've been on all this snow, and then it's like, oh, now we're just going down this big grassy knoll.
And it feels super N64, more so than the others. And earlier it sounded like I was making fun of it. I thought it was actually really cool.
No, it was probably my favorite stage. I liked it a lot. I love that there was stage variety in general. I love that as you went through the stages, the difficulty definitely progressed. Like, they did a great job on a design front of making that happen and happen naturally. That was great.
Yeah.
But the grass level was probably just my favorite. Like, it had me smiling the most. So, how about your favorite level? It'll give me a second to think about my favorite power-up.
I think mine's also the grass stage. Just the colors and the feel of it was... And it's funny. It's just a really, really fun stage. I liked I think it's Silver Mountain. It's like the foggy one. It's kind of a difficult level. You can't really see far ahead of you, so it adds another layer of like challenge. So that one was pretty cool too. Favorite item? There's this snowman item that...
Oh, it was great.
You shoot in front of you like a green shell on Mario, but it turns them into a snowman. And they keep going, but they can't turn. They can only go straight. So, like, if they're turning to the left, you shoot them with that. They just have to keep going straight as the snowman, and it looks hilarious. And it's my favorite ever.
That's a really fun one. I'm always way too practical, and like as a strategic kind of person, the one that like makes you invisible and invulnerable for a little while, so that you can avoid other people's attacks.
That one's super important to keep in your item slot.
It was a really good one. That one was probably my favorite. I think that was an important one for them to include for it to not be too balanced around power-ups like breaking things.
Yeah, it definitely added some balance there. So it's not
chaos. I don't know if you realize this. I only realized this in like reading about the game. I sort of tried to do it afterwards and was bad. But like, there's some level of mastery to this game because you can actually, if you're getting attacked by something... You can actually either dodge that attack by performing certain tricks or certain jumps at the right time.
Yep.
Or actually deflect that attack back to the person that was attacking you. You got to time it exactly right. And, like, it includes, I'm not even sure which kind of, like, board grab, but it was one of those, like, jump in the air and just do a board grab kind of trick moves.
Uh-huh.
That's right as it's hitting you. I don't, you know, I never even got it down.
Yeah,
but there's
I didn't
definitely
know about
some
that.
Nuance there to, like, picking the right items and dodging stuff and countering stuff and when to use things strategically and where to place, you know, the trap kind of items for the most bang for your buck. And so, I don't know. For a simple game, it's one that if you decided to get really into and spent some time unlocking all the content and really mastering, there's a little bit of a higher ceiling.
The final shell shock.
I enjoyed this game more than I thought I was going to. I'm not as sure where you stand. And not a super in-depth game. It's not a game you're going to like invest your life in. But if you pick it up and play it, you're going to have a good time. You're going to get a little of that N64 nostalgia vibe. It's going to feel kind of unique. There's going to be some things for you to explore and learn, but you're still going to be able to jump in and just start having fun right away. There's content to be unlocked, and so there's things for you to shoot for. There's customization and side things and all the things that really say to me that a developer put time into it. And so I didn't feel the age in such a way that it kept me from enjoying the title. So I think most people would pick it up and play it and have fun. So for me, not the easiest ever choice, but it's definitely worth overall a New Game Plus vote.
Okay. Really interesting because, okay, so I went into it with nostalgia and was brought back to reality. You went into it with nothing and was like, okay.
Yeah.
That hasn't happened many times on this podcast, I don't think. Very interesting.
Preconceptions can sometimes have a big impact on how we feel about things. And also, I had to have guessed, like, knowing our kind of games, and I actually had known about this game, I would have been like, I'm going to hate it, and Nolan will probably love it.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting, because I'm not getting that vibe from you.
Well, let's see. Okay. I had fun with it this week. I think it's really unique, and I really have to hand it to the developers that they pulled off a good Mario Kart clone that it's almost not fair to call it a Mario Kart clone because they just kind of made it their own for a little bit. And I have to commend them for like jumping in on the whole like X Games like snowboard hype, but making it Snowboard Kids, but still not feel like a child's game. However, I don't know if it's, I don't know if I would give it that status of New Game Plus because, it's just, I don't give it New Game Plus.
Okay. So let's do this. Let's say it's a no from you, but that 50-50 is really hard. And so let's pick, I don't know that he'll have played it, but he'll at least have watched and had some thoughts, maybe pick Dustin's brain about it, or I don't know, we'll come up with some way. Maybe let's have an argument this week in Discord for those of you who join us on our Discord server.
Let's have a democracy.
Probably will officially give this New Game Plus status, but it may just have to stay unresolved content until we take the gloves off and throw down.
Here's another reason why I have to give it have to not give it New Game Plus.
All right.
Snowboard Kids 2 exists.
I don't know if that's fair. It's fair that it's a thought, but like you got to judge games on their own.
I know, and I still say no. But if I was going to recommend someone go back and play Snowboard Kids, I'd probably point them in the direction of Snowboard Kids 2. There's the same concepts there, some of the same items, but there's more customization for your character, for your board, and there's kind of like a little free roam aspect to it. They just went deeper into it and they pulled it off. I remember playing that one a lot too. So, no New Game Plus for me. Kenny gives it, and we'll have to talk in Discord and settle this. This is really unique situation.
Yeah, that's right. We haven't ever had just the two of us before. It's always
been falling apart without Dustin.
Three or four people. So, Dustin will come back from Brussels and straighten us out this next week.
Okay, so maybe Jan will give us some insight to what you guys thought about it. Jan says, took me some time to get the emulation working, but I finally did it. Got to play it for a while. First impression, I like it. The controls are good. There's some really upbeat music playing. And the sound effects and voices are very cheerful, too. It feels like it's aimed at kids, but it's entertaining enough to play as an adult, too. I I like how in the race you need to take the ski lift to get back to the top of the slope. So did we. Mm-hmm. The other game modes, like the skill mode and the trick mode, are also a lot of fun. What I do miss is some kind of tournament mode. This does not feel like a game you will be playing for weeks unless you really like the game mechanics. So, I liked it, but I'm not really sure if it's one of those iconic games that everyone should play. If you do want to play it, it's entertaining and not a waste of time.
Yeah, that games like this, and I totally agree with him, are hard for me to really, really classify. Because, like, they're fun, but it's not like an... I think everybody has to go out and play it.
Sure.
But if you pick it up and decide to play it, you're going to enjoy yourself. You know? And so it's sort of just sort of right in this kind of middle area that's really hard to nail down. All right, let's go ahead and pick next week's random game. Before
Kenny,
we do
this
that,
this is your highlight, and
I know
you get to
and
do
I get to
week.
Do it. I'm so like I'm smiling big. Up. I'm so excited that I got the power this week. And if I pick something bad and ruin our week, it's just on me. I can't, you know, begrudge Dustin like I usually do. Gotta say that in a couple of weeks, we do have a couple more guests coming up, and so we'll have some episodes where we don't get to randomize. And we also have a patron pool coming up for those of you who yes. are our Patreon supporters. And so I know there's been some discussion already about how you guys want to use your influence into what games we want to play, yeah. and that's super
there's
fun.
There's a conspiracy going on in Discord. They're teaming up on us.
We love that you guys are... taking part and having influence. If any of our viewers would like to have some influence into the games we pick by being part of our patron pools, we would love to have you support us on Patreon. All of our Patreon supporters really help us do the things that we do consistently and continue striving to make more content and better content on a consistent basis. So thanks to all you guys who Absolutely. Support us. And if you want a slightly less random game sometime, that's the easiest way to get it done. But this week, Fate is in charge, and we are going to be playing... This week we will be playing a game called Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue.
No, we have already played a Power Rangers game, and it sucked.
We have, and this one might again. We'll see. It looks, at first glance, like it is a game... based directly on the TV show series, like inspired by a certain version of the TV show, Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue. So that check that out if you terrible. Want more info about that game or the title. Feel free to hit us up this week and connect with us on our social media. You can always hit us at Twitter, Facebook. Do we have a Facebook page?
Oh, gosh.
You can cut that,
Dustin.
You
can find us on...
You can find us on social media, at NGP Podcast everywhere. Join us in our Discord if you want to connect throughout the week. Email us, ngppodcast@gmail.com. Nolan?
Yes?
What else you got to say before we close out our time together this morning?
I would like to thank Antonin, and I would like to thank Bill. They've upped their Patreon support for us so they can jump into that Patreon pool that you're talking about. So I want to give a awesome. Special shout out to them because they have been with us for so long and they're so awesome and contribute to the thank show weekly in our Discord. So let me plug that really quick. If you like using Discord or if you've never heard of it, that's fine. We have a New Game Plus Discord where we discuss the weekly game all the time. There's also just other... gaming channels in there. We just hang out and you know, talk about video games, and we'd love to have you stop by. It's a great way to send us some feedback throughout the week about the game, especially when it's gonna be as crappy as Power Rangers.
You don't
really
know, this
funny.
Might be a gem.
Oh, it's gonna be bad. No,
this
don't
might
even
be
try. Don't
this
even.
Might be a gem.
It won't be, and it's fun to just vent in there. So yeah, there's a link on our Twitter in you know, our little bio, so go check it out there, and we'd love to have you stop by. I'd also like to give a special thanks to Bradley and Zion, who are our top Patreon supporters. They're producers of our show and allow us to do this every week and to continue to increase our content and the quality of our content, and so we can't do it without you guys. Thank you so much.
And thanks to all you guys who spend some time listening to the podcast, connecting with us, whether that's just with your ears on your drive to work, or whether that's some way by sending us game suggestions, email, connecting with us in all the various ways that we do, playing the game with us. We appreciate every single one of you. We love playing old games, and we hope you guys enjoy it just as much and enjoy our thoughts about it. So thanks for joining us this week. We will catch you again next week for another episode of New Game Plus as we play Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue. Gosh, until then, because Dustin's not here, I'm Kenny.
And I'm Nolan.
And this has been New Game Plus.